Fretland just issued a press release indicating that they were going to boycott the parliament. What kind of boycott is this? And are there other areas of dissatisfaction with the parliament?
Well, you know, today the Court of Appeal issued a decision in relation to the recent budget, and that court decision was a confirmation of our complaint, not just ours, Fretland's, but, you know, this complaint from time to time has also come from, you know, the Democratic Party and from other smaller parties in the parliament, that that the parliament, when the president and the vice president of the parliament deliberate over the parliament, quite often they run roughshod over the standing orders of the parliament. And our major complaint has been the stifling of debate, the blocking of our right to bring the parliament before the government, before the parliament, to answer our questions and to be held accountable in relation to the budget, to budget expenditure, in relation to a number of other important national issues, but primarily in relation to accounting. The standing orders of the parliament permit us to bring the government into the parliament once a month, because, see, our governments don't sit in the parliament. The executive is separate from the parliament. So to bring them on notice to be able to answer our questions in relation to specifically budget expenditure, matters of money, provision of goods and services to the people. We've made a number of requests. The first request that we made took forever. And when they finally came to the parliament, debate was cut short. There was only a morning session. The afternoon session didn't even proceed because the president of the parliament cut it short because he said there was no quorum. All of this, plus the debate during the budget where the president of the parliament forced a vote on a substantial amendment put forward by the government, forced a vote without permitting any discussion to take place whatsoever. No debate. Didn't allow for opposition speakers to say anything in relation to the proposed amendment, and just put it to a vote. That was, these are just one or two of many examples. And resulting from that, the Fretland Central Committee, when it met last Saturday, decided that at an appropriate time, if we, as Fretland representatives in the National Parliament, feel that democracy and a democratic approach cannot be is not possible in the National Parliament, that indeed we would abandon the Parliament, and that would be a permanent abandonment. We haven't made that decision yet, but when we do, it would be renouncing our seats, and because of the system that we have here, there wouldn't be any by-elections or anything, but for the rest of the term of the Parliament, they would not have any Fretland representatives there. Now, this is a very drastic step for us to take, but we cannot continue to sit in a parliament that continues to make unconstitutional decisions. They make unconstitutional decisions, we take them to court, we win. That's happened three times now. It happened once when we warned them that the allocation of funds into the office of the President of the Republic for fighting poverty was not constitutionally possible, because the president does not have executive powers in relation to those issues. They did it anyway. The Court of Appeal upheld our appeal, our petition that was unconstitutional. We appealed in relation to a parliamentary law that deemed that political parties would all get an equal amount of funding regardless of their proportional representation in the parliament. We argued against it. We warned them that that was unconstitutional. Despite our warning, the Parliament used its majority to approve it. We took it to the Court of Appeal. The Court of Appeal upheld our constitutional petition. Now, recently we did the same in relation to the government revised budget, the amended budget that was brought to the Parliament in July. We warned the government that they could not, the Parliament, that they could not authorise the transfer of petroleum fund monies in the amount of $396 million. We warned them that they could not simply rubber stamp the government's proposal to establish an economic stabilisation fund as an autonomous fund, because it wasn't permitted by the law or our constitutional mechanism. They did it anyway, and today the Court of Appeal struck down both provisions in the budget as being unconstitutional and illegal, in breach of both the Constitution and the Petroleum Fund Law that was put in place some years ago. Now, all of these things lead us to believe that this Parliament either has to begin to respond in a positive way and begin to take notice of the law and the Constitution and the rights of the opposition to participate democratically in the debate, or we withdraw from the National Parliament. And we'll withdraw and we'll make our opposition from outside of Parliament. You see, unlike members of the government parties that are there now, we don't care if we lose our salaries. We don't care if we lose the right to the precious luxury vehicles. What we care about is to ensure that we have a parliament that abides by the rule of law, and this is not happening. Now, our appeal is that they change their ways and that they avoid this potential crisis.
So it's almost as though there is no recognition of the separation of powers.
Or precisely. If they don't recognise that they are a sovereign entity and a sovereign body, not beholden to the government and not just mouthpieces of the government or pawns of the government, and that's the very reason why we have this very strict separation in our constitution.
Yeah. Mm.
Let me stress that once more. Our ministers and our government cannot be members of parliament at the same time. The executive is totally separate from the legislature, very similar to the US system. That is done so as to permit each organ to provide a check and balance to each other. That is a constitutional requirement of the parliament, that it becomes the check and balance to the role of the executive. Now, if that doesn't happen, then why should we participate in an organ where we are just going to be forced the whole time to just watch a charade? Now, this court decision is an indictment of this parliament acting unlawfully and unconstitutionally.
Mm. I guess it's early days, but has there been a reaction from the local press there in Dili or Timor-Leste or the media generally?
Well, the press are reporting on it. The press are reporting on it, but you must appreciate one thing. We're a young democracy.
Yeah.
We're a new democracy. I don't mean for that to sound condescending at all, but, you know, it really does mean extra effort to ensure that we inform one another and that we sensibilise one another of the needs for these constitutional principles to be respected. I believe that the media have picked up on it, but I'm not sure that it is widely recognised right now as being particularly important.
But the local media does seem to have picked up on the allegations of corruption against the Minister for Justice, which is an extraordinary development.
Extraordinary. It really, really is an extraordinary thing, and it's extraordinary on two counts. Firstly, it's extraordinary the courage of the media who have published it, and they have been subject to threats and intimidation and all sorts of bullying behaviour. But it's extraordinary because what this is these excerpts from SMS text messages directly from the minister's telephone because she had lost it and the media gained access to it. And those SMSs involve exchanges between her and business people, businessmen who were tenderers and ultimately awarded contracts in her own ministry, and her spouse. These are extraordinary revelations, including messages from her borrowing money off people who won tenders, who then provided her with the money and said, "Don't worry, don't pay me." It shows an extraordinarily bad misunderstanding of the role of a minister to mix personal interest with her duties as a minister. Our view is that we are absolutely astounded that the Prime Minister, given what he said about his government's avowed commitment to fighting corruption, given his own personal statements in the past about, you know, the previous Fretland government, We are astounded that he has said nothing and he has done nothing in the face of all of this evidence that the minister has engaged in conduct that I must say, at the very least, is unbecoming of a minister.
Mm.
Now, there is a very clear precedent that's already been set. In the previous Fretland government, when Mr. Guzmão was the president, he insisted that both the former defence minister and the former minister for the interior, in the middle of the crisis, that they resign. They resign for their involvement in certain matters regarding weapons that up until that stage, there was nothing but allegations. They didn't, you know, one has never faced a court and one didn't face a court until months afterwards. But he insisted that they resign. He insisted that Prime Minister Alkatiri resign for allegedly being involved in the distribution of arms. A subsequent investigation showed Dr. Alkatiri had no criminal charges to answer and had no involvement of a criminal nature at all. But he was forced to resign because of that. It is incredible that he applies that standard then, and today one of his own ministers has been caught red-handed with the hand in the till, so to speak.
Yeah.
And look what he's done. There's been nothing coming from him. To our knowledge, he hasn't sent anything to be investigated by either the Inspector General, the equivalent of the Auditor General, or the Ombudsman for Human Rights, or the Prosecutor General.
And so it seems that there are authoritarian tendencies within the current government of Timor-Leste, and Jose is giving us a bit of an insight into how those tendencies might be confronted. It'll be interesting to see how the Australian media deal with, well, what looks like a looming constitutional crisis and the motives they might attribute to the Fretland opposition. Anyway, we'll be watching it here on Latin Radical and Community Radio 2MFM. Watch this spot.